Hello, I'm Father Joe Roche of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Thank you for joining us as we continue our journey of reading The Mystical Temple of God by St. Stanislaus of Jesus and Mary Papchinsky from beginning to end. Today we take up from where we left off, beginning with Chapter 8, Part 1, pages 601 to 602. Chapter 8, The Lamp of the Mystical Temple, Part 1. The bidding, says the wise man, is a lamp, and the teaching is a light. That's from Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. It will never cease burning in the mystical temple before the very altar of the heart. Why so? For the command of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eye. Psalm 19, verse 9. Yes, indeed, the feet, as the same said elsewhere, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. For just as we know by which way to go when a torch is borne before us and do not slip off the beaten tracks, in like manner, when the precepts of God are fixed in the heart and shine in the soul, we best see how to order our present life, and by conforming it to these, we shall by no means turn aside from the path to the eternity of happiness. In the beginning, indeed, the human race followed the guidance of nature and light of reason in its life by its actions. But when nature was corrupted by vices and reason was darkened by the habits of sin, God established the law for us as the way of acting according to his justice, so that we may search for it always. When finally this law collapsed again, partly by the absurd interpretations of the Jews and partly by strange superstitions, the legislator himself assisted us, that is Christ, the incarnate Son of God, who came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. That's from Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. And strengthened it with his deeds and words in such a way that he is deservedly considered the light which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. John chapter 1, verse 9. Finally, the Catholic Church, outside of which there is no light and no truth, added also its own precepts to the divine commandments. Indeed, not by introducing anything new, contrary to the mind of the legislator, but by surrounding his laws with a bulwark of its own, so that they look like reserve troops keeping watch before the camp of the Lord's hosts. Finally, political associations, by their laws, and whole nations, by various customs, wished to protect themselves. All of these, when they are just, as we have intimated above, and pertain only to a holy and happy life, to the excellent governance of the church, and to the preservation and glory of kingdoms, must certainly be kept before the eyes, in the heart, mind, and will. Somebody deservedly reprehended the ridiculous devotion of the Jews, who either hang the commandments of God about their neck or put them on the double doors of their houses, but do not observe them. But for a Christian, it is proper to keep them in his memory, to consider them with his intellect and fulfill them in his actions. And this is exactly what the just king sang. The mouth of the just shall mediate wisdom, and his tongue speak what is right. The law of his God is in his heart. It shall not be supplanted. That's from Psalm 36, verses 30 and 31. Here, the old man Eleazar, a true Israelite, provides an example. He chose rather to die than to eat forbidden meat, even in pretense, as it would cause a scandal. An example is also provided by that well-known Maccabean heroine with her seven sons, whom she sent on ahead to heaven through terrible tortures, lest they violate native laws and customs. The lukewarm Christian should be ashamed that almost every day he infringes some of his laws, at least in thought or speech, if not in action. Father Stanislaus of Jesus and Mary here explains what the lamp in the mystical temple is by quoting from the book of Proverbs. It comes from a section of Proverbs which urges the offspring in a family to be obedient to the commands or the teachings of the parents. The section says that the bidding or command is a lamp and the teaching is a light. He then quotes from the Psalms to show that the commands of the Lord are a light meant to keep us on the right path. God doesn't want us to be lost and wandering around in the dark. He knows how tricky the evil one can be. He gives us the grace to know how to get to heaven, but it means following his commandments, allowing the Lord to lead us. That is why God gave us the Ten Commandments. When our reason was darkened by sin, we are easily confused. We need signposts to keep us on the right path. So, St. Stanislaus says, we can't just honor the law by writing it down or putting it in a place of honor near our front door if we are not going to observe it. We should contemplate the scriptures so that we can come to know God's commandments, to love them, and to observe them. He cites two beautiful examples from the Old Testament. Eleazar, the old man who refused to eat forbidden meat, even in pretense, so as not to scandalize others, and the mother of seven sons from the book of Maccabees, who was willing to watch all of her sons die rather than to bring shame upon her family by disobeying the law of God. He urges us to be careful of lukewarmness. We want to follow the example of the saints and the martyrs.